guess I'll park here and just go straight down. Alright. Sure. Right. Okay. Alright. Let's go to church.
Welcome to Jesus Wept, a podcast where we explore the oddities, obsessions, and minutiae of American evangelical Christianity. I'm Bowen Wong. I'm a writer and audio producer. This episode is about the Chinese American church, which I grew up in. I was baptized as an infant, and I went to Chinese church every single Sunday morning, all the way through college. But instead of our usual format, where I tell you a story that's interspersed with research and larger context, for this episode, I decided to do something different. I decided to go to church.
Freeze warning today, I heard.
Hold me. No, maybe you can't.
And then afterwards, Grace and I went on a walk to talk about it.
And then they ship it to you, and it's 20 pounds of beans, and they're all different varietals. And then you just have beans like a little squirrel. Through winter.
But first, Grace told me about how excited they were for the 20 pounds of dried beans their mom bought for them as a birthday gift.
And it costs how much?
$125.
But 20 pounds of beans, and the amount of beans that we go through,
so how many dollars per bean is it?
Per bean? Like, per individual bean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Waking up on a Sunday morning with my alarm set at 9:15.
So, like, not jealous at all. Like, I got to sleep in, I heard your alarm, and I was like, fuck, I'm gonna look so nice and asleep so Bowen feels jealous that he has to go somewhere.
So, I was already a little bit, I started off the day annoyed, obviously.
It's a long drive for you.
24-minute drive.
That's so, I'm annoyed at the gas you wasted doing this.
This actually wasn't the first time I went to this church. Back in 2018, I became interested in Pittsburgh's old Chinatown neighborhood that used to be located downtown. I did some research and found an interview with someone named Lydia Ott, who grew up in Chinatown.
When were you born?
I was born in 1933.
Okay.
I reached out to her, and Lydia told me that she'd be happy to chat about her memories of Chinatown, and that I could meet her at church.
That Chinatown was much bigger, and then because of the building of the Boulevard of the Allies, you know, divided Chinatown, and that kind of threw everything into a decline.
Not much remains of Pittsburgh's Chinatown.
This is from the local public radio station.
Construction of the Boulevard of the Allies in the 1920s cut through the neighborhood, prompting Chinese Pittsburghers to leave for other communities and the suburbs.
Five years later, I drove to church for the second time, with Christian music playing in the background to put me in the mood. The GPS directed me to merge onto Boulevard of the Allies, which is a major road. It's hard to avoid. I take it when I commute to work. But there's something weird about driving on Boulevard of the Allies this time, on this Sunday morning. I drove on a road that, a century earlier, had destroyed the Chinese community, literally turned it to rubble, to reach my destination way out in the suburbs, where many in the Chinese community gather today.
Pizibao Huaren Jiaohui, Pittsburgh Chinese Church.
What is it?
Pizibao, Pittsburgh. Pizibao is Pittsburgh in Chinese.
Oh, that doesn't even sound like the same. Pizibao.
Pizibao.
I kind of like
Pizibao.
Pizibao.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, it's a bao. But what does that actually mean?
It's one of those things where it's just a phonetic transliteration, and it doesn't actually mean anything.
Your blood of grace flows over me.
Chinese church is split in two. There's the Chinese ministry for immigrants and the English ministry for their US-born kids, like me. Today, however, was a combined bilingual service. The worship leader sang one verse in English.
Lord, is
love unchanging for me.
And the next verse in Mandarin. Standing in the crowded, stuffy, overly warm room, I realized how rare it was for me to be surrounded by Chinese people. I grew up in a mostly white suburb of Philly, and aside from going to Chinatown for a bowl of pulled noodles or shopping at Aussie Plaza for groceries, the only time that happened was every Sunday at church. I can't quite describe what it felt like to sing bilingual hymns at Chinese church after so many years away. It's a sort of unfamiliar familiarity. Unfamiliar because it's so rare, and familiar because it feels so comforting.
Praise the Lord for allowing me to come to PCC to share God's word.
The sermon was also bilingual. The pastor, who was a guest speaker, delivered his remarks in Cantonese-inflected Mandarin, followed by an interpreter in English. In English, the sermon was called When You Meet Quiet Quitting. But quiet quitting isn't an exact translation. The original phrase used in Chinese was
躺平的一个人,
躺平, which literally means lying flat.
躺平真是好, 躺平真是妙躺平失望到躺平
was first used on the Chinese internet in the early days of the pandemic, but it truly went viral the following year. It's born out of this attitude among young people in China that the system is rigged, that even if you study hard and go to a college and get a degree, the only jobs you can get will overwork and underpay you, that you'll never be able to buy a house, that you can't get ahead if you don't have connections, so why bother? Give up on the rat race and just 躺平, lie flat.
躺平真的失望到
The phrase became so popular that in May of 2021, the Chinese state media issued an editorial calling 躺平 shameful and encouraged young people to work harder and not give up.
We also might have encountered quiet quitters in our life.
I suppose in an effort to be relevant, the pastor applied 躺平 to Christianity.
I have once met a brothers and sister who are the only Christian in their families. Their children have grown up, but they still are unwilling to go to church. So in the end, these brothers and sisters also become quiet quitters. Perhaps you yourself are this quiet quitting Christian.
Ironically, if that's the right term, the pastor's solution to 躺平 was similar to the Chinese government's.
So a person who is a quiet quitter often doesn't recognize his own issues. They blame their suffering on other people.
Stop blaming society. Read your Bible more. Go to church every week. Go to Bible study. Just try harder.
God's word has the power to make a quiet quitter stand up again. We must read the Bible every day.
And I guess, double ironically, the message that both the pastor and the Chinese government gave to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps struck me as uniquely American.
I realize that he's using new terminology to basically say being a lukewarm Christian, you know what I mean?
He didn't say anything about like the actual like economical problems that cause this like feeling that you need to just give up.
No, exactly, Grace. Like, did he talk about the larger economic and structural forces? No, he made it all about personal responsibility.
Yeah. When I was at an artist residency, I went to an orientation thing that was scheduled for a Sunday morning. The director gave some remarks and then played a video of a sermon which I was not expecting. My heart started racing, my breathing got shallow. I thought about getting up and leaving, but that would cause a whole scene. I was triggered, in other words. All of a sudden, I was a kid again, powerless. Forced to wake up early on a Sunday morning and listen to an authoritative man tell me what to think and who to be. The video was of a progressive pastor speaking at a progressive church, but that didn't matter. The content of what he was saying was irrelevant. It's something about the format of sitting there receiving information with no way to respond or push back. Back in Chinese church, as I listened to the pastor talk about how quiet quitters just need to try harder, I found myself mentally making counterarguments. But otherwise, I had no way of resisting. I guess that's what I'm doing now, re-listening to this sermon and writing this narration. But as it turns out, there actually was an opportunity afterwards for people to push back.
So I'm just going to ask a few questions, and then we're going to just basically open it up to all of you if you want to ask any questions, any burning questions.
After the sermon, the pastor and his wife did a Q&A. The moderator started with what he called a tough question.
Our group was studying 1 Timothy, and they said, how do you understand this prohibition on women teaching or holding authority in the church?
1 Timothy 2. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet.
The pastor's wife took this one. She said that people might talk about reading this passage in its historical or cultural context or whatever, but the correct and only way to interpret this passage is literally.
So I will not teach adult brother unless there is like a small group, like the first condition I set, like it was a small group setting, they can disagree with me, okay, is I'm not exercising authority when I teach. So that's how I apply that.
So then basically she is like, well, in the church, I will teach women, I will teach children, but I will not teach men. I will not teach adult brothers, except in specific circumstances.
Like what?
I don't know. But
change a diaper?
Maybe.
Doesn't she have a fucking PhD?
She has a master's in divinity, yeah, from the seminary.
Which you can't teach.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's an MRS div.
Any question about that? So you said you're okay with a female missionary.
A younger guy, maybe in college, was like, okay, what if a woman is a pastor at a different church? Would you invite her to speak at your church? The pastor hemmed and hawed and talked about how, well, you actually do need to take cultural context into account, like how in Korea there are churches with female pastors. But ultimately,
if I invite a female pastor to speak in my church, then they would think, okay, no problem for female pastor. This will, I can definitely tell you, okay, this is their conclusion. So even though I may not have a problem, like after I understand like the culture, the context and everything, but I would not do it because of the people of my church.
Another guy raised his hand.
The first question is, like, what about, like, subject matter experts that kind of are female subject matter experts on topics that are...
What about a scholar or a historian or some sort of expert who's a woman? Would you invite her to speak at your church? There's some more hemming and hawing, and ultimately, neither of them really gave a straight yes or no answer. My years of being Christian were years of cognitive dissonance. I'd read some fucked up passage in the Bible, like how women can't have authority over men, or
you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination.
And I'd have to come up with some rationalization.
Well, actually, that's from Leviticus, which also has laws about how you shouldn't trim your beard or eat seafood without fins or scales, and no one today tries to follow those, so why is he more of this one?
I'd hear some fucked up thing a pastor or a teacher said.
A man marrying a man? What's next?
a man marrying a dog.
And I'd have to come up with another rationalization.
Well, actually, that's the slippery slope fallacy. It doesn't follow that legalizing same-sex marriage will...
But the fucked up things just never stopped.
God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God created two genders. Abortion is not Harry Potter and Satan. Halloween and Satan.
And it got exhausting to keep rationalizing. I tried going to progressive, LGBTQ-affirming churches, but it turns out it wasn't only the politics I disagreed with. It's just that I don't believe in God. Walking to the cafeteria, I passed a group of girls who were laughing. I didn't get it on the recording, but they were shit-talking the Q&A. One of them was like, "Oh no, I'm a silly little woman. Make sure I don't have any authority over men." It made me happy, listening to them joke around. It made me happy that some of the audience pushed back against sexism. Those girls and those audience members, they're rationalizing. They like being part of this church and this community, but keep running into fucked up things they don't agree with. Maybe some of them will get exhausted, like me. Maybe they'll leave the church. Or maybe they'll stay and keep pushing back against the relentless sexism and racism and homophobia and transphobia and so on. I hope they do. It's not Chinese church without lunch. I stood in line and saw the collection box. $2 for adults, $1 for kids, and free for new visitors. I got my styrofoam box of rice, chicken and woodier mushrooms, and stir-fry squash. One person came up to me and said hello, asking if I was new here. But otherwise, I was left alone. I ate, threw out my trash, took a picture of the cafeteria for posterity. And went home.
The conclusion I came to eating that lunch was like, this is so familiar to me. This is so like home. I almost want it to be home, but it never will be because I don't think I could actually become friends with many or perhaps any of these people because we just don't share the same beliefs religiously or ideologically.
Well, once you told them you're like living with your non-binary partner, they'd probably be
exactly.
Which has already happened to some of your friends.
And that's why I don't talk to my Christian friends anymore, who are Chinese, and we have that shared cultural whatever. But it's always like the bullshit you have to deal with of like something pops up.
They, them, pronouns.
Pronouns, whatever. And you're like, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this. It feels like home, but it never will be. I don't know. Do I feel sad about that?
Well, do you want... You've also made friends with, like, more of a Chinese, like, artist, radical community, like, artists and, like, leftists, writers, who also grew up with cultural trauma and religious trauma that are really cool. But here you are.
Here I am, and I found that, like, where I really found my community and my true friends was at, in the writing program, where we're all trying to write, trying to make art. We're, I think, have shared beliefs ideologically and just about the world. And like, I feel so much comfier actually and at home with these people, with you and our friends, than with the people at Chinese church.
Yeah, that's okay. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna piss myself.
All right, let's go.
Bye.
Bye.